Well, the meeting of the Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners workshop session to order for January 20th. May we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Hill,
Here.
Commissioner Fickle,
Right here.
Commissioner Stevens,
Here.
Commissioner Campbell,
Here.
and Commissioner Roan.
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic from which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There any changes or additions to the agenda? Okay, public comment. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any topic and person those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment card. Those on Zoom may raise their hands during the public comment period. Do you have any public comment? No Zoom. Welcome the Astoria Yacht Club to our meeting. Our action item today is the Quadient postage machine lease agreement. I'll turn that over to staff.
Thank you, Commissioner Roan. We have a pretty short agenda tonight, an action item. And this item financial perspective is fairly small, but it is for 39 months. So this is for a leasing agreement for the postage machine that sits here in the office. The rate is $80.99 per month. And the duration of the lease period is 39 months. Our old agreement, and we've had them for, I don't know which year it started, but it's been a long, long time. It expires this year. And so by locking this in now, it saves us approximately $15 a month. So we're asking the commission to approve this 39 month agreement at $80.99 per month with Quadient for lease of our postage machine.
There you have it. Does anyone have any questions or comments? I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Been moved to authorize the executive director to enter into a 39-month lease agreement with Quadient for a postage machine at a monthly cost of $80.99, effective November 10th, 2026. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That was easy.
That was fairly laborious, but I thank staff for the presentation. Moving on to commissioner comments. Commissioner Hill.
I was unable to make the airport meeting. Was it Monday?
No.
Yeah. And but I read about it in the paper tonight. And, wow. Impressive thought. Remains to be seen if it's going to be workable, but
three of us were there, so I'm here. We'll probably hear more about it.
Yeah, okay. That's my comment.
Thank you, Commissioner Fickle.
Hello, I was there, and it was very interesting to hear them talk about maybe getting airline services. Comes up every once in a while. People ask if there's a way to get here, but I think it's not too early to start talking about it, and it'll be fun to see where it goes. Also, I was honored and privileged to be able to attend the meeting with Senator Jeff Merkley on Saturday at the Warrenton High School. Always appreciate the chance to sit down with them and hear other local leaders talk about what's on their minds. I was impressed with how quickly it happened. He breezed in and, you know, 15 people brought up some things that he responded to. His assistant is duteously writing down notes and comments. So that was really cool. And then next port meeting, I just wanted to say my wife and I are going on our little 20th anniversary trip. I may or may not be able to hook in via Zoom, but we'll see. I'll try if I can. That's all it got.
Commissioner Stevens.
Thank you. Well, I did attend Senator Mercury's town hall for elected officials, along with Commissioner Fickle. And hearing his comments, I'm glad to say we both attended the same meeting. There were lots of county commissioners, city commissioners, mayors, and others present. I think it's important for us to attend those meetings when we can. I've said this before, but I do want to reiterate it. You know, showing the port to the public is always a good thing. It doesn't take that much time. That meeting was only half an hour, Warrenton High School. But we keep the port visible to all, showing interest in our interest in the local community and so forth. So anytime the senators or members of the House want to get together, it's good if we can make it there. Additionally, a couple of weeks ago, January 8th, I did attend the Clatsop Cruise Hosts Board of Directors meeting. Found out that they are going to be called the Port of Astoria Cruise Hosts. There are a few changes taking place. The cruise hosts held a well-run meeting. I was impressed. They printed an agenda. I have a copy of it if anyone's interested. And they followed the agenda, and they did about as good a job as we do with Robert's Rules. You know, it was a pretty well-run meeting, covered a lot of business. I found that the structure of the cruise host and our relationship with Sundial Travel is changing, and I'll let staff speak to that as they want to. And that's all I have to report.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yeah, I've been getting quite a few comments, and one person showed up at a meeting here and requested that the port move these meetings, so people getting off work or having dinner at that hour could attend. And I think it's about time we join the rest of the room meeting at a reasonable hour so they can do that. And I'd like to have this put on the agenda in the next meeting. Move this meeting to 7 o'clock at night.
That's your comment. Anything else?
Yeah, I want to ask the executive director here, what did we find out about the pipe outfall?
I don't know that I have anything new to report from last meeting. I did talk to Joe several times about it, and he didn't have any concerns with the current or with the engineering layout for Borenstein's new DAF system. I do think, as you had brought up at the last meeting, there are some longer term issues with the outfalls location, and as a part of the West Side Pier 2 project, that part of that will be looking at discharge locations and making sure that it's conducive, whether it's bringing in cruise ships on the face of the pier or vessels that are in those slips. But at this point, there's really no action for the port to take, and there's no change to the actual outfall as it sits right now. They're simply, Borenstein is simply connecting in to their existing discharge pipe on Pier 2.
Where is their existing pipe?
It runs along the west side of Pier 2.
Pier 2?
Correct.
Yeah, we should discuss that because that could be an everlasting problem.
Other comments?
I don't think I have anything else right now.
Okay, thank you. As Commissioner Fickell and Commissioner Campbell were at the Airport Advisory Committee meeting, and I attended as well because I'm very enthusiastic about the possibility of air service to our area. I thought it was a nice meeting. Haven't been to the FOB in a while, and I thought it looked much better than it used to in the past. And of course, there's potential for more plans to build a second floor and keep upgrading our facilities and potential of having the air service. They'll do it as we wish, but we'll have to work with the other stakeholders in our county, chambers of commerce. I think Cedar could be a potential source of working together. Ultimately, we need to start with seed money, if you want to call it that, to provide air service. Practically, Seattle would be the best choice to start with. And if that can become self-sustaining, then we can have regular air service, which Boutique Air is provider, and they seemed enthusiastic and professional. And it's my understanding at this stage that the staff will do some vetting and confer with other locales that work with Boutique Air, and then we can begin the process of working with our community to hopefully find funding opportunities to start, and ultimately we need to make it be self-sustaining. So I'll turn it over to the executive director for his comments.
Did they have staff there, executive staff?
They had a gentleman from Boutique Air representing, and he seemed very professional and knowledgeable. You know, as it is the airport advisory committee, you have people with knowledge of different models of aircraft, and so I really felt like it was a meaningful conversation, and everyone got their questions answered, in my opinion. So, executive director, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, thanks, Commissioner. So, given the fact that we had a short agenda tonight, I did want to give a little bit more lengthy comment specifically on our waterfront development. We've had some things happening in the 2 weeks since we last met the commission and the public on that. And so, as you're aware, we've been working pretty closely with Wes at Atlin to get lease agreements drafted so that we can get those in front of the commission. I am happy to report on that front with the leases that at our last meeting, I had indicated we were waiting to get a draft back from Wes. We have received that. We got it late last week, and I had a chance to go through the red line and some of the changes that they had proposed over the weekend. And I think we're getting really close to getting to a point where we can get something in front of the commission. What I think I do want to do, given the gravity of these leases, both in scale, in the length of time they're looking at leasing, and then the substantial piece of port property that they're going to be leasing, I think it would be worthwhile to schedule commissioners to come in and on a one-on-one or two-on-one basis to kind of go through those offline and give commissioners an opportunity to raise any concerns they might have or any ideas they might have so that we can look at those. And then sort of the next step before it were to go in front of the commission, I do want to have Port Council Eileen take a run through those, but I'm always careful with her time. Obviously, attorneys are not cheap. And so I want to make sure that we're at a point to where we think we have something that we can agree to before I have her kind of do the full review on everything. Most of her changes are not going to obviously be to the numbers or the terms or things like that. It's mostly looking at the legal side of things and also potential pitfalls in the future from a legal perspective. And so you can be expecting that here in the next week or two, I'll be reaching out to commissioners to see your availability about coming in to take a look at those things. The day after our last meeting, actually, I think I had announced at that meeting that we were going to be having we'll get together with city staff. And so we did that. So we had the city manager, Scott Spence, was at that meeting, as well as the community development director, John Roberts, city engineer, Nathan Crater, and then the head of public works, Jeff Harrington. And then Wes was here, and he brought his engineer with him as well. And it served as kind of a kickoff meeting. Wes and his engineer brought a real rough draft of a site plan that they're looking at to discuss with the city. The city brought up a few concerns with the site plan. And so Wes took the notes that he got from that meeting and is right now putting together a bit of a revision. Some of it had to do with just the site, specifically looking at the culinary center that they're proposing in the hotel. The city had some concerns because based on the master plan and the layout in the master plan, they were going to be moving the hotel to the north and then connecting to the culinary center via a boardwalk. And there were some concerns about if the hotel were to move to the north, that then that would fall under a conditional use rather than an outright use, which would trigger a whole different process in terms of going through planning commission, public input, much of which we already did through the master plan process. And so it's important to us. It's the whole reason that we went through this lengthy process is we wanted to go through that, make sure that it had been vetted through the public, that we had buy-in from both the port and the city. And so Wes is working on that now, kind of side by side with working with port staff on the leases. So I think overall it was a quality meeting. It was good to hear some of the concerns and then just get all of the or a lot of the decision makers from the city at the staff level in the same room, just to kind of hear it all at once. I think it's a good way to start a large project like this in terms of the permitting side of things, so that there's no surprises in the future. I did the following week have a follow-up meeting with just myself and then Scott Spence from the city, as well as John Roberts, the community development director. Melanie Olson from Business Oregon was also in that meeting because we were discussing several different things, but just wanted to kind of review the things that we had talked about in the meeting, and I wanted to be sure that I was clear kind of on what their expectation was for this revised site plan. So I think overall the city is on board with what we're doing. We had discussed some other permitting issues around port property as well, and I think we made some headway on that. Obviously, permitting is a complicated beast, especially for the port, and we just want to make sure that we get off on the right foot, and that we're not wasting time or resources on things that ultimately we're going to have to go back to the drawing board on. I already mentioned the leases, we have those to review over the weekend, and we'll be meeting here soon with commissioners. So that's kind of where we're at on the waterfront development side of things. I've been in pretty routine communication with Wes on this, and I think he's happy with where we're at this point. And I think that getting that site plan completed and getting kind of the full buy-in from the city is going to be a big step as we kind of enter the permitting realm of this project. So that's the update I have on that. A few other things I wanted to talk about. One of them is we're going to be hosting the Coast Guard in this room actually next month. They're going to do their advanced helicopter search and rescue school, the classroom portion. I guess the room they normally use, I don't know if it's not available or whatnot, but they had asked the port if we had some space that they could use for the month of February. So they'll be here next week getting everything set up, and then they'll be hosting that class throughout the month of February. It'll be from 7 a.m. To about noon in here. We are offering that to them free of charge as sort of an act of goodwill. It will also, because of bringing in folks from all over, we will get some added fuel sales and things like that from having that here at the port. And so I think that's exciting news for the port, and allows us to strengthen that relationship with the Coast Guard. I did get some relatively bad news on the Connect Oregon front. And talked about the fact they had announced a round of Connect money. There was approximately $70 million going to be in that pool. Well, alongside that, there's been a at the state level this transportation package that has gone through several iterations, and now the governor is looking for some alternative solutions to fund the, I think, close to $250 million shortfall within ODOT. The news we got from Mark Landauer, who's the director of Oregon Public Ports Association, was that the latest proposal has the $70 to $75 million that was allocated for Connect possibly going away and going to help fund the shortfall via the transportation package. And so, obviously for entities like ports that rely heavily on those Connect dollars, which are supposed to be for transportation projects that are non-highway, and a lot of times these entities are charged with maintaining infrastructure or transportation systems that on their own are loss leaders. And so there's been a heavy reliance on this Connect program. And the port's been a recipient of Connect money in the past, as well as a lot of local entities, both public and private. And so that's obviously a concern in the port world. It's something that Mark is advocating heavily for through his role with Oregon Public Ports. I've also had discussions with the ports program coordinator, Margaret at Business Oregon, about our concerns regarding losing Connect, as well as Melanie Olson. And so as of now, I have not heard of any final decisions on this, but I just want to let the commission know that this is a concern, especially given that the last round of Connect, we were actually the last project on the outside looking in. And this year, the plan was to use those Connect dollars that we were seeking in terms of a grant as match money for Pier 2. And so that was part of my discussion with Business Oregon, with both Margaret and Melanie, that if this program is no longer available, I mean, the state has indicated to us that they're supportive of the Pier 2 project and wanting to help out with match money, of what mechanism we could use to come up with those match dollars. And so as of now, I don't have anything concrete to report on this, other than it is a concern. And in my opinion, is not a good use of those Connect dollars to help fund this shortfall. Another thing I wanted to mention, this actually came up, we had a request come in from Commissioner Stevens, was requesting some boatyard financial information. And so Melanie put it together and I think sent that out this afternoon, but I did take a look at it and I thought it was interesting enough that I would bring it up. We talk about the success that the boatyard has had over the last few years a lot, and sometimes don't mention exact numbers, but I think this is interesting. If you look at fiscal year 2021, the total operating income at the boatyard was $456,000, and we had a net income of $145,000 on that revenue. If you look at fiscal year 25, which is the most recent completed year, so that would have been through June 30th of 25, our total operating income was just over $1 million, with a net of about $580,000. And so in a 5-year period, you're looking at more than doubling total revenue, and our profitability has went up almost 4x. So it's pretty crazy in that amount of time, the progress that's been made. And I think there's several reasons for that. Obviously, having the quality management staff that we have there is a big piece of it. We've been able to attract a lot of new customers. And so I think that speaks to sort of the past, but also lends support to the work that we've done as far as the Boatyard Master Plan and looking to invest more money into that going forward, as it has been such a success story. And there's so much demand for that space and to support the fishing community within our boatyard. So I just wanted to share that information. And then lastly, I thought maybe someone would mention it during commission reports. But if you hadn't looked at the Daily Astorian this week or looked online, there was a nice front page article on Commissioner Hill. I thought they did a good job with that. And so thank you to the Astorian for putting that together. I even learned a few things that I didn't know about Commissioner Hill in reading that article. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Impersonating a treasurer.
Oh, but those are kind words. That's an issue.
Jay did that article, and in the past, when that's happened, there's always something that's like off, but there wasn't anything off.
Yeah.
I'm not the regular treasurer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I was very impressed. It was all true.
Yeah. I thought it was very cool. That's my report.
How much money you're able to set aside for reinvesting in the boatyard?
Well, a bit of a loaded question. So obviously, from a financial perspective, when we talk about our operating income and our net income, that's on a government accounting basis, so sort of more of a cash basis, cash in, cash out. So that doesn't include things like depreciation on equipment and things like that. Our boatyard, it's part of, it's a core business of the port. It's part of our general fund. I think that success in part has been a big reason that our cash reserves have improved. If some of the commissioners that have been around a while can probably recall, even Moss Adams being here and talking about how critically low our cash was, and the days cash on hand at one point was, I think, below 10 days. So I think a big piece of what this has done is has allowed us to kind of bolster that. It's also allowed us to hire in the boatyard. We have three full-time staff out there now, which I think is warranted based on what we're seeing in the financials. And then obviously a lot of money and time went into the planning process for both the feasibility study and the master plan for the boatyard's expansion. And so I think the future is bright there. It's one of the businesses at the port that has, I won't say unanimous, but has really good support from the community. It's one that when I talk about with folks, that I don't get a lot of opposition, which seems like these days anything things are so divided that anything you bring up tends to be a 50-50 issue. And I think with the boatyard, I think within our community, it's very well supported.
I wasn't sure if there would the for as far as the master plan and meeting with the developer or meeting with you for the updates, if Commissioner Fickle has been provided with the master plan, or if there are some basic tenets that could be provided to everyone, emailed in advance so that people are familiar, top of mind, we're going into those meetings. The process with the city of Astoria of developing the Central Waterfront Master Plan was a very methodical, very thorough process with a phenomenal amount of public input. And those things, I think, are easily lost. And so I think it's very important.
A little reminder
A
before.
reminder, and for us, and also for maybe the city to remember, as we are always, each agency is a constant cast of rotating characters. I think sometimes there's a lack of appreciation for how thorough and how much buy-in there was from all parties. Nothing else. I will adjourn the meeting.
Okay. A couple of points.
Commissioner Stevens.
What's happening with the dreads? I noticed they pulled this button out of the other day. Have we got any bites on it?
We haven't actually just talked to Joe about that here a few weeks ago. It's been more time flies. It was actually probably before the holidays, and at that point, we hadn't received any bites, and so I guess I don't have a good answer for you on what we're going to do. Obviously, Joe seems to think that there is some value there. It just comes down to finding the right buyer, and so we don't just want to give the thing away if it does have some value. But as of the latest update that I had, we had not received any bids on the dredge.
Still got the dredge crew on the payroll. We took funds from that to hire another dredge. What are we doing there?
So our dredge crew, up until 3 4 years ago, we had seven full-time employees in the maintenance department. A big reason that we had to employ seven maintenance people was when we were doing our dredging, that we needed two crews of three, so that we could dredge on both outgoing tides. The challenge then becomes of in the non-dredge season of keeping those folks busy. And I, in my opinion, seven full-time maintenance folks was probably too heavy from a personnel perspective for a port our size. And so at this point, we have three full-time maintenance staff that's no longer dredging, but that we're able to keep busy throughout the year. And so there's savings from that, going from seven to four. But beyond that, there hasn't been any changes to our maintenance staff.
Commissioner Stevens,
thank you. I want to agree with what the chairman said about taking a look at where we've been with the waterfront master plan in the city of Astoria. How long has the new community development guy, what we call a city planner, how long has he been there with Astoria?
Don't quote me, but I think just under a year.
Yeah. The reason I'm concerned is that it seems like when these guys change out, we have to go back two squares. We had this problem that lasted 10 months with City of Warrenton as they went through three planning officers during the course of our trying to mitigate for Pier 2. And now I don't want to start hanging crepe, black crepe over anything, but are you confident that we're moving forward with the city? With
we are. And
how many new councilors do they have?
Well, since we started the master planning process, I believe Andy Davis was the only counselor that was there at the beginning of the process that's still there, if I'm not mistaken. I do think it was good to have this kickoff meeting because, as we all know, permitting departments are one of those services that are easy to kind of be the punching bag, because whenever somebody has a project, they're trying to move it forward and likely trying to do it at as low a cost as possible. And so it's, the permitting department's job to make sure that there's a certain standard that they're fighting by. And then also, to their credit, I mean, they've been unbelievably busy. I mean, I just read an article in the Astorian actually about some of the large projects that have either recently been completed or are ongoing, which are pretty incredible for a town this size. And I was just looking at the total dollars. Well, especially if you throw in the hospital project, which I think is north of 300 million. And then some of the, whether it's the building, the medical center across the street from the hospital, the museum project. I mean, there's just a lots of behavioral. There's a ton of things going on for such a small permitting department. Now, that being said, there's an obligation to move things forward and do them in a way that's timely. And so I believe, especially with, our relationship with city staff, I'm in pretty regular communication with the city manager, Scott Spence. I do believe we're making headway. But again, that's kind of why we wanted to go about this, because sometimes I hear some of the horror stories about things that have happened sort of down the road of where projects have thought they were on the right foot, only to find out that they had to turn a 180 and go in a different direction. So that was the whole thought behind having this kickoff meeting, was that if there were going to be any broad issues that were glaring, let's address those now, so that we can move this thing forward as efficiently as possible. And I think Wes was fine with it. And I just got an update from him. They're getting pretty close. I think he should have a revised site plan to me, if not by the end of the week, probably next week.
Well, thank you for your attention to that. But it looked like in your presentation tonight, you said back to the drawing board. And that's kind of a concern.
Yeah, simply with the hotel and with the culinary center having to be kind of swapped out in terms of where they would sit. But I think we can make it work.
Okay. If we need to, Mr. Chairman, of course, it would be the guy to decide, but we could always have a few commissioners show up to the meetings after you meet with people, like we did before. I think that has some weight.
Thank you. We've been sitting on the property for Allender for how many years? And he's still paying us every month rent on that property with the intentions of building a hotel there. Well, they didn't want him to go too high because it ruined the visibility of the people living there. Well, there's two things. The bridge blocks, number one, but they recently built that other new center right next to the Kentucky Fried Chicken, which absolutely blows a hole in their case.
I think it's good to handle these things behind closed doors, and hopefully that allows for latitude among professionals. I kind of brought the same issues that Commissioner Stevens brought to and asked, my thought on that line is former city councilors, Tom Brownson in particular, if he would be available to, if that would be necessary. But I think this is a planning department thing. It doesn't involve elected officials, but I think we're all available should that be helpful.
Thank you.
Can we do that? Have the meeting behind the closed door? I think
that's with professionals when they meet together, when staff meets with staff. I think our staff is working together. That's what's happening right now. Not elected people meeting with elected people. That work takes place on the professional level. And I understand and share everyone's frustration, but we need to be positive and maintain the highest level of goodwill in these sorts of projects, processes. Anybody else? Meeting adjourned.